the other big stories in politics this week was President Obama. He had to come out and apologize to America and admit that Obamacare is not working. I mean, it's a mess. It's a complete mess. But I was kind of surprised by this new CBS poll that came out that found that 7% of Americans actually think Obamacare is fine the way it is. In a related poll, 100% of CBS researchers do not understand sarcasm. Obamacare is great. Oh, I love it.
That's pretty funny.
Welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
So much to discuss today. What is America's worst-run state, fiscally speaking? I'll give you one guess, and it rhymes with California.
More on the deal with Iran that's either historically good or a historic blunder, and we've got to redo Michael Jackson for anybody who hasn't heard it.
Oh, boy, yeah. We wouldn't want him to miss that story.
The doctor that killed him, Conrad Murray, gave some interviews about what it's been was like there at the end, and it was weird.
I would say I can't even say it.
It's weirder than whatever you're thinking.
Yeah. I don't care what you're thinking. It's weirder. Yeah. So, listen, we get these pitches all the time, folks who have a book out, a novel, what have you, fiction. And it has a certain premise, and these publicists try to get them on to talk about the premise in general, and then you let them pitch the book, blah, blah, blah. And it's almost uniformly not a good idea for us and our show. But in this case, Mark Diehl's got a book out called 17, Book 1, that's called by at least some a natural progression from mine, or do you say Ayn Rand's objectivist work, but he's talking about the way we're organized in society as people. And his contention, as I understand it, are that the humans are on the way to becoming a society of conformists, and maybe even should, perhaps not. I don't know. Mark Diehl joins us. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
I tell you what, the premise is intriguing as heck. Why don't you tell us what's in your head re-conformity these days?
Okay. George Orwell, Ayn Rand, when they wrote, they were looking at how big government had gotten, how fast, and what a powerful monster it had become. And they saw the real danger that it could dehumanize. And Ayn Rand came up with the idea that, well, we're going to have big business, and we're going to sic our big business on government. We're going to have that as a counter to it. And what she didn't really see, and that we see now, is that it's really holding the leash of government. It's all one big entity now.
Okay.
And so what has become it used to be you had to be savvy, you had to be smart, you had to be whatever to get ahead in the world, you had to make your own moves.
Tough, now, self-reliant, etc. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So now our number one survival skill is conformity. It's obedience to your superiors. When I was working in a giant law firm, we had 20 levels of partner, and it wasn't important for me to come up with new ideas. It was important for me to toe the line. And that's when I really started to see when corporations own increasing proportions of what we get every day, of our resources, when they control increasing parts of our government, we are becoming increasingly subordinate to their hierarchies.
That's interesting. Is that just a function of bureaucracy, whether it's a giant company or giant government, just bureaucracies reward conformity?
I think bureaucracies do reward conformity, but there. I lived in Asia for a long time. I lived and worked in five countries on the local economies in Asia, and I saw there that what had happened 1,000 years ago was that they had really dense population densities and very few resources. So as resources go down and you've got more people crammed into a smaller area, you have to structure those people more. You have to make sure that everybody knows their place and they stay in that place.
That's interesting. It's clearly observable that the American cities vote much more nanny state than the wide open spaces. That's
no
undeniable.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Right. When I moved from Iowa to Chicago, suddenly I need a sticker on my car. And I said, well, what's the sticker? Well, you pay $90, you get a sticker. Well, why? Well, if you don't have a sticker, we're going to fine you. Oh, so it's a tax. Oh, no, it's a sticker.
Yeah,
but,
well said.
You know, there was all this just to keep people in line. You have to have all these new rules, all these regulations. You've got more people. You need to get them structured somehow.
Mark Deal is the author of a book called 17 Book One. It's a novel, but it deals with the themes we're discussing here, I assume. You know, at the same time, of course, that, you know, it's an information technology economy. More and more, the great innovators are thinking outside the box. They're geeks in garages and their mom's basement and that sort of thing. So, I mean, there certainly are directions where rugged independence and that sort of thing is still really making waves.
There can be, and query whether that will continue. You know, people point to people like Bill Gates. You know, well, he dropped out of, was it Harvard or Yale or one of those, you know, to start his own company. Well, yeah, but you had to get to Harvard or Yale to drop out in the first place. And what the American dream has somehow become, instead of most of us can own our own business, most of us can have some kind of control over our own place in the economy, now the big dream for most people is, I'm going to own my own business. I'm going to franchise it. I'm going to be part of some giant thing. There's very little innovation, and we celebrate the ones that are, the Microsofts, the Googles. But while those get bigger and they get more media attention, the local hardware store, the local grocery store that goes under is not getting that attention.
Yeah, boy, you drive down any main street in America, it's hard to dispute that point.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just kind of a natural evolutionary process, like you point out, when population densities increase, that sort of thing? Is it avoidable, or is it just, you know, a phenomenon you're observing?
Well, I think it started with armies a long time ago. People said, you know, if we can get everybody organized into this top-down hierarchy, we can take over everybody who's not organized that way, which is why every army in the world became that. So it takes a special society to say, you know what, we value the individual. We value uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on whether we're going to continue to hold those values precious or whether they're going to just sort of be thrown by the wayside in pursuit of the bottom line.
Wow, and so your book, 17, Book One, I assume it's got characters overcoming difficulties, and it deals with these themes.
Yeah, the series will trace humanity as we evolve into a corporate species where obedience to your superiors is your most important survival skill.
Well,
the first book starts with, you know, something closer to us, and then it will go from there.
Wow. You know, some of the greatest insights into the evolution of society have been fiction. You know, I'm rereading for the umpteenth time, as I've mentioned many times lately, Brave New World. And I think yours sounds promising. Mark Deal, author of 17, Book One. Good to talk to you. Good luck with it. We'll have a big link at our website. Everybody knows where that is to find your book. All right.
All right. Thank you, Jack and Joe.
All right. Stimulating. Thanks. ArmstrongandGettyRadio.com. Go there. Find a book, huh?
So how do I tie this into Lee Harvey Oswald? This is how. So I'm reading about Lee Harvey Oswald still over the weekend. I'm reading this Norman Mailer book, and it's really what the book is about the Soviet Union.
I'm just going to say this quickly. If you can tie it in to Conrad Murray touching Michael Jackson's penis, I'll give you $20.
Really, what the book is about the Soviet Union, and I've always been fascinated with the Soviet Union, and it's the ultimate bureaucracy and all that sort of stuff. And so Lee Harvey Oswald's trying to get his, he wants to become a Soviet citizen, and the person he's working with, she kind of wants to help him do that, but she's telling him about bureaucracy and why it's so difficult to deal with in the Soviet Union and everything like that. And she says, people who work in the Soviet Union, they do not want to be energetic. There is a saying, my job is not a wolf. It won't run away into the forest, so why should I hurry?
Wow.
How often do you run into that attitude?
Yeah.
In bureaucracy, whether it's government or a big company?
Yeah.
My job is not a wolf. It's not going to run away into the forest, so why should I hurry?
that was a colorful Ruski saying.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it pretty much describes what the world is becoming.
Yeah, just be a conformist, hurrying, the new idea.
Innovating, I'll get in trouble.
Just fill out your paperwork and get it done, and don't cause any problems. Don't bring up anything that doesn't fit in.
I'm supposed to do this amount of work and this amount of time. That's exactly what's going to happen.
My job is not a wolf. It's not going to run away into the forest. You're listening to The Armstrong and Getty Show. We'll be right back.
you two, the AMAs. It has been an absolutely incredible year. I feel extremely blessed to be accepting an award at the AMAs. And now that I'm sitting here in front of millions of people, I'd like to address something extremely important to me. I was talking to my friend Owar before the show, and he reminded me of a great Martin Luther King quote. He said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." And due to the fact that we are in Florida tonight accepting this award, I want to acknowledge Trayvon Martin and the hundreds and hundreds of kids each year that are dying due to racial profiling and the violence that follows it. This is really happening. These are our friends, our neighbors, our peers, and our fans, and it's time that we look out for the youth and fight against racism and the laws that protect it.
There you go.
You've got to be kidding me.
Racial profiling?
We much.
And the hundreds and hundreds of kids that are killed each year due to racial profiling.
You've got to be kidding me.
That's what's killing
and the
young
crowd
black
cheers.
Men. Oh, like crazy. Yep. Way to go, sir. God dang it. Please see our discussion last week on the podcast with all the statistics of how young black men are dying. I'll tell you this. George Zimmerman was a talking dog. It was a two-headed cat. It was a rarity so rare, well, it was worth paying attention to.